This is the radio ministry where the rubber meets the road, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word, for righteousness and holiness? We're glad that you've tuned in. If God leads you to invest in spreading the gospel around the world, you can learn more about us. We're on the web at HisWillMinistry.org. You can contact us by emailing to info@HisWillMinistry.org. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord as a result of Pastor's teaching and preaching. Here's Pastor Warner.
How many of you have had the unpleasant favor, or whatever you want to call it, of switching through the channels on TV? My wife and I are very lucky. We get two stations, PBS and Casper. So our whole life is Antiques Roadshow on PBS, or, you know, Alaska, something harmless, or the news. But it seems like after the news comes on a show called Fear Factor. How many people have ever heard of this show? This is a show that apparently, the best I can gather, is based on trying to make you conquer your worst fears. And the few commercials I've seen of it are people eating raw leeches, climbing along the top of speeding 18-wheelers, and other such idiotic things, would I like to say, that is, I guess you get paid money for this. I don't know. I've never seen the show. All I've seen is commercials. And I think to myself, this is what the human being is watching right now. And it saddens me, because what purpose is brought about by this type of television? No. I mean, it doesn't feed you. The Bible politely says, garbage in, garbage out. We feed ourselves with garbage, garbage is going to come back out. We feed ourselves with holiness, holiness comes back out. Jesus says, it's not what you eat that makes you unclean, because it goes in one end, comes out the other, and it's no different. He says it's what goes into the heart, through the eyes to the heart. The eyes are the window of the soul. And I was thinking, man, I'm so glad I don't watch TV. It would scare me, some of this. I just see the commercials for Fear Factor, and it scares me to think, what else is on television today? So today, I want to talk about fear. I want to talk about, what do you fear the most? Some people I know, like one of our daughters, is deathly afraid of spiders. You can take a daddy long legs, put it within 50 feet of her, and she's screaming. Now, our son-in-law is really deathly allergic to spiders, and he's afraid of them. Other people, it's heights. You can take me, stick me on a 50-story building, and I look out the window, and I'm sure I'm dead. I'm going. But then you hang me on a 1,000-foot cliff with nothing but my shoes and a pair of hands, I'm a happy camper. But if it's man-made, I don't want to hang off of it. My wife, I'm not sure she has any fears. You know, she seems to be a real gutsy person, so I'm not sure what her true fears are. You notice she's real quiet about it, too.
I fear the Lord.
Aye, that's a good one. That's a good one. What are some of the fears that we have in life? We heard one in prayer request today. The fear of losing work. The fear of losing a job. Our fear, our fear is just about the same, or at least mine have been there. I've pretty well gotten over it because I know the Lord's in control, but when Shell first announced that they were shutting down, my fear was, oh no. I feared losing everything. And then I thought, hey, I've lost everything before, and God gave it all back twice as much, so I wasn't going to worry about it. Sometimes our fears are our children. What's going to happen to them? As they grow up, what choice are they going to take? We fear that they are going to take the wrong path, and no matter what we do, they're going to take the wrong path. Well, the Bible tells us about our children. It tells us how to raise them, and then it says when they get to the age of accountability, they're on their own. We're not responsible. If our children are over the age of accountability and we have raised them godly and they turn bad, it's not our responsibility. We keep praying for them, but we can't change them. God can. So that's a fear we don't really need. Sometimes we fear losing the person we love the most on earth. That used to be one of my greatest fears. I know how much I rely on my wife. And every time there's a little burp in her health, I'm, you know, in the corner praying in a panic. Come on, God. Come on. Come on. It's like I'm the cheering team. Go, God. Go. Go, God. Go. You know, I'm not going to make him go any faster or slower. And this last couple of weeks, God has shown me that, hey, you know where your wife's going. You've had this time as she's a beautiful gift. Therefore, if it's my decision to take her for some reason, live with it. And I'm like, but... So he always works on me. And that's one of my greatest fears right now is letting down the Lord. Because I've let him down in the past. I've let him down greatly in the past. And one of my greatest fears is letting him down. But we have fears all through. When I first started preaching, my greatest fear was I was going to get up there and nothing was going to come out of my mouth. I was just going to stand up there and go. So I used to have all these notes. I knew it. 11 pages of notes. I can get through a sermon. 11, 12 too many, I'll put them to sleep. 8's not enough. 11 pages, perfect. One day God gave me 4. And I'm like, but God, that's not enough. The next time I preached, he gave me nothing. He says, which way would you rather have it? He's good. I love God. I love my Savior. I love his sense of humor. Who else would create the duck, the old platypus? God has a great sense of humor. But the one thing that you and I need to learn is we talk about our gracious God. We talk about our loving God. We talk about how much our God cares for us. We talk about how our Savior died for us and raised on the third day because he loves us so much. Well, all those are true. But sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we're talking about God. We can't even comprehend. My minuscule little mind can't even think that much to understand God. We watched a special the other day on the human brain. And I get such a kick out of scientists. I mean, I've got a master's degree in science, and I laugh at them. They had all these millions, they were studying the brain, and they found out that the reason blind people do so well is because the brain center in the back of your head is the one for vision. Well, when you go blind, the brain redirects everything and makes the back where used to be your vision take over and help you with everything else. And that's why blind people can do things like Braille so quickly. They can read a whole book just like that. Because God has allowed their lack of sight to be redirected in this little gray matter back here so that what used to be sight now works for touch. They were showing a little girl who was born without the left side of a brain. Now, the left side of your brain is the one that works on talk, speech, recognition of items, motor skills. What did this little girl get? God transferred all that to the right-hand side. She can read, write, talk, recognize. She has a little trouble with her right hand doing things, but past that, the woman functions absolutely perfectly. Because even though the whole half of the brain's gone, God designed us so beautifully that everything that was being done by that was now taken over by this side. And the brain, without man telling it how to do it, decided which was more important, being able to use their right hand or being able to talk and recognize. See, now that's the kind of God I serve. The kind of God that, you know, puts things together like that. And then we sit here and wonder. We pray over people and they don't get healed. Why don't they? Sometimes we wonder, I don't see any miracles happening. Why don't they? That's part of the key I want to give you today. I've been giving you all these little keys. Well, here's another one. Let's start in Proverbs. As my wife said this morning, I'm taking you on a Bible tour. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. And I probably am not even going to get through all of this because I've got like 18 verses. So if you're taking notes, be quick because I may start just spitting them at you. Proverbs chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now this is Solomon, The wisest man that ever lived. The richest man, as far as we know, that ever lived. I mean, Solomon had everything. What's he say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. Okay, if we want to understand God's Word, the first thing we've got to do is start out with a holy fear of the Lord. Not a fear of spiders, not a fear of losing our jobs, not a fear of falling off a building, but the realization that that building wouldn't be there if it wasn't for God. That job wouldn't be there if it wasn't for God. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for God. So we have to start, before we can go anywhere with our growth, with our knowledge of God, we have to start with the very basics of a holy fear. Now this isn't just, oh yeah, I know he's God and I know he has the power to strike me down if he wants to, but when was the last time I saw somebody get struck down? You know, they haven't been struck down for a long time. What would we do today? I'm going to be honest. What would you do today if God showed up and whoever wasn't worshiping him right now or listening to his word, he did that to them and they ceased to exist? They just were a little pile of dust on the pew. Would we leave? Or would we get down on our face in awesome honor and fear of the Lord? Which would we do? When we watch preachers and we listen to preachers preach, and they're not preaching the word, but they're telling you a pretty little story that ends up with a fancy little poem at the end and says, hey, give your money so my ministry can keep going. What would we do if that pastor suddenly got struck by lightning and his head was blown off his body in the middle of the service? Because that's the kind of God we serve. He has that power. He loves us, and it doesn't happen anymore, but it did in the New Testament. We have a prime example on two people that decided they wanted to have money for their retirement fund. What happened to them? They both died. And what does it say? There was a holy fear that came upon the church. And it didn't drive them apart. It drove them all together. It drove them all to worship him even more. Because they realized, now wait a minute. This is God. He knows what's going on inside of here. He knows what's going on inside of here. You know, he knew me, what does David say? He knew me before I was born, before I was in the womb, he made me. This is the guy we should have the fear for. Let's just go through a few quick verses in Proverbs 1:29. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, it says, but when they call on me, 28, when they call on me, I will not answer. They will seek me diligently and they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. So think about that. He's saying right here that when people get on their knees, when they're in trouble, and they call on the Lord, what did he just say? I won't answer. They're going to seek me diligently, but they won't find me. Because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. See, we don't understand it sometimes, but even our prayers can be hindered by our lack of fear and reverence for God. You know, I've always loved the Lord, even in my early days. But there was a time when I referred to God as the big kahuna. You know, he was the big kahuna in the sky. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know too many people that fear the big kahuna. Not really. Now, when you say he's my reverend God that could wipe me off the face of the earth, there's a little fear there. But, hey, this is my friend, the big kahuna. Now, how many people feel that way about God, though? How many people look at God as that way? Oh, he's God. He's a good guy. He's my friend. He's just. He'd never put anybody in hell. There's no such thing as hell. He wouldn't punish them, would he? Not God, he loves me. Well, hello. As Paul said, he cast the angels into darkness and chains because they were bad. And we're not up there with the angels. What do you think he's going to do to us? This is the God that created the heavens and the universe. Let's look at, I got all these down, 2:5, Proverbs. We'll still be in Proverbs. We're going to be in Proverbs for a while. then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Does something keep coming across here? You can't have a personal relationship with Jesus like you want if you don't fear the Lord reverently. You know, we need to fear the Lord the same way you'd fear me if I put a 44 to your head and said it's over. You know, right now in the Virginia area and the Washington, D.C. area, there isn't one person that'll do anything. They had a little political cartoon showed two people driving down the road. And the caption was, "Examples of courage." And underneath the driver said, "Hey, let's pull over and get gas." That is the attitude right now back east because of one man. He has terrorized people, and they will not. They've canceled youth groups. They've canceled football plans. People don't want to go shopping because they're terrorized of this one man. They're more afraid of him than they are of God. My wife was like, "Man, I wish I was back there. I want them to interview me because I tell them I don't fear this dude. God's on my side. I fear the Lord. And anyway, I'm wearing a bulletproof vest." No. Isn't that the way we are? Think about it. Isn't that the way we are? "I fear the Lord, so I fear no man. But I got this bulletproof vest on just in case." You know, that's the way we are. "I fear no man. I fear the Lord. But just in case, I got $10,000 in the bank in case He doesn't give me a job." You know, my wife and I, if God isn't gracious to us, we're doomed because we don't have any savings. "I fear the Lord." But that's what the Lord wants. Unless we have that fear and reverence of Him, we can't enter into the Holy of Holies. If we can't enter into the Holy of Holies, we can't have the fullness. You know, there's no excuse for us to be sad, sick, tired. We just make that excuse. We want it. Don't ask me why we want it, but we want it. You know, I'm not preaching something that isn't in here. The Lord has more for us than we'll let Him give us. You look at the revivals that have hit this country. How many people know who Reinhard Bonnke is? Ray, one person, two people. I got to get you guys out more often, okay? Reinhard Bonnke's a young man who isn't young anymore. Started out at 7 years old being led by God to preach the gospel. By the time he was 12 years old, he was being led that he was supposed to preach the gospel overseas. He preaches the gospel in Africa. And in his meetings, they have had a million people make a decision for Jesus Christ. And this isn't just a million hands saying we want it. This is a million cards that were filled out by these people confessing Jesus, saying they wanted Jesus Christ so his ministry could turn around and pass them out to the local churches. So don't tell me God isn't working. He just isn't working here. There's got to be a reason He isn't working here. He isn't working here because maybe we don't want Him to. Maybe we don't want the Holy Ghost to show up. Maybe we don't want to be healed. Maybe you don't want this church to have 3,000 people in it that are starving to death for Jesus. I don't know. I've listened to Reinhard Bonnke preach. Trust me, he can't preach. But he can tell the truth. He's not going to be a dynamic television preacher that's going to have a 15,000 member church in the U.S. because he's not that kind of man. He has one message and one message only: you need Jesus. And the last time Reinhard Bonnke preached in the U.S. to the church of the U.S., he said the same thing to them: you need Jesus. A million. Think about it. We have 20, 25 people on our roster of members. He preaches and a million people give their lives to Jesus. And we're not just talking giving to Jesus here. The Holy Spirit comes down. The gifts of the Holy Spirit come down. In fact, he said, "I'm the only preacher that's ever had to pray in my life to ask God not to let people fall out in the Spirit." Because when you got 750,000 people all standing together in a packed crowd, the Holy Spirit comes down. As he said, they were 3 and 4 deep. I was afraid they were going to die before we could get them all up. So he started praying, Lord, just don't let them fall out in the Spirit. Give them the Spirit, but don't let them fall out. Believe it or not, God honored him. But I saw one time live one of his revivals. And after he finished praying, asking for the Holy Spirit to come down, I listened to that crowd. It almost drove me to my knees weeping for that here. And I honestly believe part of the reason we don't have it is a reverent fear for God. Let's look in chapter 9, verse 10. We'll keep going through here. Because I want to show you some of the things that a fear of God can do for you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Okay? So we keep finding this. Okay, let's go to 15:33. Proverbs 15:33. I got a lot of verses, so I'll probably zip through pretty quick. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So what are we seeing? We're seeing that the Spirit of the Lord, the fear of the Spirit of the Lord, the fear, the reverent fear of the Lord, brings us what? Wisdom and knowledge. How can we progress forward without that? Isn't that a basis for everything? I mean, how can you worship Jesus if you don't know Him? How can you serve the Lord if you don't know Him? Now, my understanding, you guys search these things out, prove me wrong, I'd love you to, is that without a reverent fear, and I'm talking a holy fear of the Lord, this is a guy that can wipe you off the face of the earth today if he feels like it. A blink of an eye and you don't exist. That kind of fear brings in wisdom and knowledge to start with. And with wisdom and knowledge, all things follow. Let's see some of the promises here. Just for the fun of it. This is all, we're still in Proverbs. Go to chapter 9, verse 11. See, I was real nasty. I only gave you verse 10, and if you just keep reading, you would have gotten ahead of me. You got to watch me, huh? You know, you just got to keep an eye on me. First we get chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now, 11. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to you. A promise of life. Let's look in 14:27. Chapter 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life to turn away the snares of death. Okay? Let's look at one more. Chapter 19, verse 23. If I'm going too fast, just yell at me. I'll give it to you again. Chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction, and he will not be visited with evil. Now think about this. So far, just from the fear of the Lord, God has promised to give us wisdom and knowledge of Him. It's almost like He says, this is a door. Did you ever see the game show? Pick door number one, door number two, or door number three? Yeah, let's make a deal. It's kind of like what God has said to you here. Let's make a deal. Pick door number one, door number two, or door number three. Well, door number one is what? The fear of the Lord. But now, door number two is the fear of the Lord. Door number three is the fear of the Lord. But what does he say is behind door number one? Well, door number one, we get wisdom. We get knowledge of the Lord. That's the beginning. We go through door number two, and what has he just told us in Proverbs? I'm going to add days to your life. I'm going to give you life. I'm going to extend your life, and I'm going to, what was the last thing he said? He will not be visited with evil. There's some promises, deep promises in the fear of the Lord, people. Now, let's look at door number three. In Psalms chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. chapter 22, verse 4. See if I want to read 3. Nope. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Door number 3, open the door, blessings. See, God's trying to tell us something here. There is a humble fear of the Lord. And in that humble fear of the Lord, if we go only through the first door and open it, we get wisdom and knowledge. But if we go through the second door that follows it and keep fearing, we get life. He adds to our days. He will not allow us to see evil. And then as we go through the third door, we will see the blessing. This is why fearing the Lord is such an important thing in our lives. He is the first and foremost thing we should fear. The moment we wake up and the phone rings and someone tells us something's gone wrong in our business, we should say thanks, praise God, and then go to the Lord and fear Him. Not what went wrong in our business. Does that make sense? Think about it. How often does your day start? Many times my day starts with the dreaded cell phone ringing. And when the dreaded cell phone rings that early in the morning, it's somebody with a problem. And I have to be honest, the first thing is this gut fear. Oh no. Now what? My fear shifts from the Lord to, what do I have to fix now, Lord? Each day we go through that. Our eyes take off the Lord. The whole state of Virginia right now doesn't care about the Lord. They're all fearing a sniper. If they had the true fear of the Lord and knew the truth of that, they would understand. They don't have to fear that sniper. He's nothing to them. That's the one we got to fear. Let's look a little more into what's required. Look in, let's go. I'm still giving you a tour. I'm going to end up in the New Testament yet. Let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 18. So I want to show you how much of a requirement this was. Chapter 18, 21. I'm at the right place. Now here, Moses was setting up. Moses has basically discovered that it's just too difficult for him, okay? Moses has gotten to the point where, God, look at all these people. I just can't keep up with them. I need some help. And so the Lord said, okay, I'm going to give you some help. And he says here about selecting the people, he says, moreover, you shall select from all the people able men such as, what? One, fear God. Two, men of truth. Three, hate covetousness. And place such over them to be rulers by the thousands, of the hundreds, of the fifties, of the tens. But what was the first requirement by God of the men to help Moses? He didn't say, I want them to be priests, I want them to be Levites, I want them to be good men. His first requirement was, I want them to fear God. Jesus said, Jesus said, seek ye first. What? Right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall follow. We have to get ourselves and our priorities in order. So I wake up on Monday morning, and my priorities are to run a business sometimes. Because I lay there in bed, and I start praising God, and I start loving Him, and I start thinking I need to study, and then all of a sudden my brain goes off into the office. It leaves without me. No comments. Be nice. But then it starts worrying and fearing all these things I got to take care of. And I have to drag it back and say, no, this is not the time. Now's the time to fear the Lord. He wants men and women that will fear Him first. Before anything else, fear the Lord. Then I want them to hate covetousness. I want them to be truthful. But the first requirement is fear the Lord. Let's look in 1 Samuel. I'll keep working while eventually I'm going to get to the New Testament. 1 Samuel. There you are. 12:24. Well, the Israelites here are asking what they're supposed to do. And here's what Samuel says. Serve the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. Does that sound familiar? Think about it. Verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart and consider the great things He has done for you. I like the next one. Verse 25 says, but if you still do wicked things, you're going to be swept away.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that He has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.